This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mid-Gaming Hall. Franklin, Kentucky, our closer. Jensen was back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, we were having a great conversation during the break there. In Cleveland, is it dry enough for you to get out there to the golf course and start practicing on that swing as we got the U.S. Open in 2 days? I don't think you and I are going to get the call up anytime soon, though.
We are not. I'm not worried about it, so I don't need my putt for dough. It will be there. That has always been something I can bring to any scramble. But I need to get – you know how it is, buddy. When you get back out to the first couple of times, this is the same thing I went through before I would start my return to throw program. It's like I completely forget, or I freak myself out that my mechanics and my release point, it doesn't feel right. And you freak yourself out of like, oh my God, I forgot how to do this. Same thing with golf. Like I just want to start slow and keep reminding myself, get the grip first and don't swing hard. No matter what you do, you want to see it absolutely jump off the club face. Do not swing hard. Feel the contact. What did you say? Like feel the earth or dig the earth out. That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Dig it out of the dirt. That is dig it out of the dirt, man. That's what we got to do. And we'll get to some a lot more U.S. Open talk here in the next couple of days. And certainly have some great guests lined up. Carl Paulson, of course, formerly on the PGA Tour, now on SiriusXM. He's going to join us as well with our Wednesdays with Wes. But right now we got Kyle Pearson coming up next, and we got a little chaos before Kyle. So let's get to it with today's edition of our Chaos Candidates. You know, you and I did a no-fly zone. If you like, subscribe, and please to the VSiN by the Books podcast, take a listen in your time. And I think people enjoyed that segment. A couple golfers made our list on the no-fly zone. That would be Brooks Koepka, that we do not like this week here when it comes to the U.S. Open. But, Jensen, I think you've got a pick here that maybe is going to be golf down the road, but right now little FIFA World Cup takes center stage.
Well, yesterday, if you had the foreshadowing ability to make – a four-leg parlay to have all four of those matches be draws. Congratulations, $64,000 richer you are after that. That's been the chaos. Half the matches, Dave, they've ended in a tie. And remarkable to see some of the long, I mean, yesterday, Spain, Cape Verde, 12-1. For that to be a draw, a couple of 3-1s come in. You had Iran with the late equalizer against the Kiwis in New Zealand to get that one home 2-2. Today, Dave, if you want to just play the three games or the three matches that start before midnight, that would get you a net payout of $14,490 on a $100 parlay for three draws. If you want to take the midnight match out west at Levi Stadium, another four-leg draw parlay, Dave, $67,000 on a $100 wager. Ooh. If you want to have lightning strike twice. I don't know if it'll happen, but it has been the chaos on the betting side for the World Cup so far.
I had almost forgotten that you'd won the coin toss this week and you were elected to receive, because I was going into my Brooks Koepka spiel here that both you and I did not have Brooksy on our cards in the no-fly zone. The reason why I bring that up, Jensen, is my chaos candidate could do something that's never hasn't been done since Brooks Koepka was the last guy to go back-to-back at our United States Open. And that is the case for the reigning defending right now in J.J. Spaun. And he's way down on the board. Now, remember, he did have some blister issues he was dealing with a couple weeks ago. He still had some pretty good results. There's two ways to look at it. You know, beware of the injured golfer. Sometimes they can really go out there and shoot low, or they're just not right. I have no plays in pocket yet on J.J., but Jensen, you and I talk about it. We're going to talk a lot more about it as the week goes here. The mentality that a J.J. Spaun brings to a United States Open, along with bogey avoidance, might be the type of guy, and that's the reason why he's the reigning defending, to possibly throw his hat back in the rink, if you will, this week. I am throw that out there on the ice and say, I am a contender once again. So, you know, I remember when I was getting into golf, Lee Jansen was the last guy that I'd seen to go back-to-back at the United States Open. Then Brooks Koepka is the latest guy to do it. So it can be done. And J.J. Spaun, if he were to do it this week, Jensen, nobody is looking at him. Nobody is talking about him other than the nice stories of being the defending champ coming in. I wonder if we're still talking about J.J. Spahn as the week goes here, if he can really be an agent of chaos as he was last year and do it this year on maybe arguably even a tougher golf course that we're going to find out at Shinnecock Hills.
Well, we do know that he loves the elements getting a little haywire and chaotic, right? Well, we may be in store for that on Thursday. Opening round at Shinnecock Hills, Dave, seeing forecasts of gusting winds of at least 21 miles an hour to maybe 30 miles an hour, 41% chance of rain, and a bit of a high humidity there. Now, the temperature is going to be right around mid-70s, so not going to be crazy as far as the stickiness. But certainly one where if you're looking for players in a first round leader bet that handle the elements well, you're thinking the Shane Lowrys of the world. Obviously, J.J. Spahn knows that he can handle that kind of thing. Dave, the all-important waxing crescent moon there when play is finally done later at night. I'm throwing that out there because it's what it says on weather.com. But that is, hey, opening round, right? You can certainly put yourself behind the eight ball, trying to not only make the weekend, but be in contention. So U.S. Open weather conditions on Thursday, absolutely a chaos candidate.
Yeah, and, you know, I had that as the second choice yesterday on the program behind mentality. It might be the first this week with that weather. So keep an eye on that, Jensen. Great point there. Before you make those first-round leader bets, and also think about a target score here for these guys because it might, you know, even par. Again, I don't know if that's going to be the winner this week, but it's going to be chaotic. How about the Greek Freak? And I know that we're all kind of looking at Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now the Knicks have won the NBA championship. They'll be the reigning defendings next year. And that Giannis is just a foregone conclusion. He's going to go to Boston. What if he doesn't? What if he decides, Jensen, that, you know what? Let me look at, dare I say, the world's most famous arena. Could you imagine if Giannis did what Kevin Durant did back when the Warriors had won the championship, and then they added a Kevin Durant? I just wonder if there's a possibility that it's not Boston for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And he says, yeah, the Garden Party, my goodness, who doesn't want to play there? That's the place you want to go. By the way, he would make enemies forever in Boston if that were the case. He didn't go there. Because I think we're all just assuming that that's where Giannis is going to land, and he very well may. But I don't know that it's decided. And until you put pen to paper, it is not a done deal. I'd be curious, and I don't know that it just stays in the Eastern Conference here, because I'm sure there's other suitors out there that would say, Giannis, I know Boston's the lead dog out there. Let's make you a pitch, my man, and let's figure out a way to get you out of Milwaukee here and get you to our spot. I think Giannis, before we just assume it's all Boston, could absolutely be the biggest chaos candidate this year in the NBA offseason. Obviously, it's going to require a trade from Milwaukee. But, Jensen, I don't think we should all just wave the flag for those other executives and assume it's Boston or bust.
It's going to be interesting to see what Miami does. If Milwaukee doesn't like that potential trade package, how will the Heat adjust? And is this just gamesmanship? Maybe Milwaukee would be content but want to continue to drive up the price. Always moves and counter moves with these front office types about what they want to do and what will be, when it happens, a blockbuster deal from Milwaukee to destination unknown.
I believe that you do have one more chaos candidate. You've already got your two. I'm sorry, because we've got the U.S. Yes. Open already out there here. We're going to talk more about the Open here tomorrow in greater detail with Wes Reynolds. And we're going to have Carl Paulson on the program as well from SiriusXM. You can listen to him on channel 92 out there, I do believe, on your car as well. You mentioned that weather. Do you have any tickets in pocket yet for the Open? Are you waiting? As you and I normally fire at this stage of a golf week, but because the weather looks like it's going to be such a key component, are you waiting as well?
Yeah, again, in a major, knowing what you're potentially up against, how important precision is for this course setup, I don't think it really would behoove anyone to run right away and be able to get it. Almost want to wait until tomorrow night just to get as close to tee off as possible before you and I had to get to bed and get ready to rock on Thursday morning. So certainly will be one to monitor the conditions. After that, though, Dave, it looks pretty good. Like, very comfortable temperature-wise. Looks like the conditions should be fine. But that's a question I wanted to ask you. How does – because I know you like to do this for your outrights. You like to play in first-round leaders. Will that affect how you do your first round leader positioning, knowing it could change off of where the outrights are too?
Absolutely, it will. It will. It, again, the guys that I'm earmarking that I like, we don't know the tee times out. And they're going to come out, I believe, later on today. We'll get this. So on tomorrow's show, I think you and I can really do a good job of trying to break down. It's fun to play weatherman, isn't it? This is what they do every day for those people that actually have those professions. And try to break down which golfer might get the better end of the draw. And then hopefully that's going to flip and benefit them again on Friday. Could be the old double whammy, depending if it's early, late, late, early. We'll find out where that's going to go. We had Matt Humans on in hour number one, by the way. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen. He is double whammied Scotty Scheffler. He's played him twice because he got a better price around town. You're seeing, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, Jensen, plus 550 for Scotty. Remember the narrative, 30th birthday this weekend, I believe on Sunday, when you would be crowning a new champion here for Scotty, complete the career Grand Slam, all of those things for Scotty Scheffler. Is that a long enough number on Scotty Scheffler? Because normally, Jensen, at a major, you normally don't get 6-to-1s. But if you can find that out there, would you be apt to play that?
Very interesting thought, right? This is... Rory at double digits is still intriguing for me. Often we're going to get that. So we'll be doing some due diligence both on the weather front and just a little bit of revisionist history of how those guys handle the elements.
If I was ever a weatherman, I was just going to say Alberta Clipper a lot. I know that just means it's winds from the north, I believe, coming down from Canada. That's all I got when it comes to weather. Kyle Peterson's got a lot when it comes to college baseball. Always great to have him on the program. Who's going to win in Omaha? Kyle joins the program next right here. VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
To our best bet stocks in college baseball right here on VSiN by the Books. And I do believe right now, speak of the devil, that we've got Kyle Peterson joining us here, ESPN baseball analyst. You can give him a follow on X at KP_Omaha and joins us, I do believe, right now here on the Progressive Guest Line. So, Jensen, always love catching up with Kyle. And Kyle, thanks for joining the program once again here. We're down to six teams here in Omaha this weekend. First of all, as I've asked Jensen before, where are you on the remaining six here? Are there any big shockers for you that are here? And I guess we could look at the teams that aren't here as maybe the bigger shockers if people were backing the UCLAs and the Georgia Techs of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two that you just said are the two biggest shocks that aren't here. I would probably throw Auburn in too. I felt like Auburn was one of the best teams in the country, and then they got clipped up getting here. But I think you'd still have to be surprised that Troy has made the run they had. You go beat Florida, and then obviously they get a chance to play super at home, which is awesome. But it's one of the last teams in, and now it's one of the last six teams standing. So from that standpoint, I think you still have to look at Troy as being surprising, but they're still here.
Yeah, absolutely. At KP, that is where we get to elimination day today. Obviously, the game you called last night, Oklahoma-Georgia, with the Sooners moving on. That means a rematch of two first days, if you will, on Friday and Saturday. Let's start with West Virginia and Troy. I would imagine it's Dawson Bontessa who gets the ball for Steve Sabins later on this afternoon. High-scoring affair between these two. Kind of handicap it in your eyes. With the pitching that's remaining for both the Trojans of Troy and the Mountaineers there with West Virginia, who do you like and who do you feel has the advantage here to kind of stay alive and go back at North Carolina?
Well, I think when you get to today and tomorrow too, especially for one of the teams, is when you kind of need somebody to do something that maybe they haven't done consistently the whole year on the mound, because you're a little bit beat up, or at least most are. I mean, there is one that won't be. Georgia's had two complete games, so your bullpen hasn't even been used at that point. So you probably look at Georgia a little bit different. But from a Troy, West Virginia standpoint, I think it comes to that, too. You know, can guys go longer than they have before? Because if you're going to get in at this point, you got to win 3 in a row. You're going to win today to stay alive, then you got to beat the 2-0 team twice. And that usually means that if you're going to pull that off, it's got to be somebody doing something that they haven't done consistently all year. And seemingly we see that on a fairly regular basis.
Talking with Kyle Peterson from ESPN. I love the handle, by the way, KP_Omaha. That did not sneak past the goalie there, Kyle. Love that handle. When you look at the other game that you mentioned with Georgia and Texas today, and Texas, small dogs, if you will, -$1.05. Georgia, the comeback there is -$1.25. And you mentioned the pitching setup, that it might be better for the Bulldogs of Georgia. Does that lead you towards Georgia getting the W today?
Well, I think it's better in the bullpen. That's the biggest thing, is they haven't used a reliever yet. They're both actually kind of loaded for bear when it comes from a pitching standpoint, aside from the top two. But when you get past that, I think both Texas and Georgia have everybody. I'd be surprised if there's not a fair amount of runs scored. It just kind of feels like that. I mean, Texas scored 14 yesterday. Georgia's kind of due. I mean, they've been somewhat held down for two straight days, and you know, they were yesterday, they had three solo home runs. And that's an offense that doesn't get held down very often. So it does, it feels like Georgia Texas is not going to be another 4-3 game like we saw last night, which was only Georgia last night, but I don't think it's going to be 4-3. I think that one's going to have some points.
I totally would agree. And I think maybe the shocker last night, KP, is how Xander Mercurius was able to limit that Bulldog attack. Let me go bigger picture for you, because I believe you guys had mentioned, you, Ravi, and Chris Burke on the broadcast. 29 of the last 35 national champions have come from those 2-0 teams, and that's where North Carolina and Oklahoma sit. As they are positioned right now, and we know it's a real arduous task for either of the teams that survived today to try and win basically 3 in a row, as you mentioned. In your eyes, is it more North Carolina better set up because of the vaunted bullpen arms with Glauber and knowing what they've done with DeCaro? McDuffie was incredible in relief and finishing that across the line, or at least getting as close to it as he could. Or do you buy stock in what you've seen so far from Oklahoma? We know the front end starting pitching has been good for them. They've had their peaks and valleys this year. Size it up for us in your eyes. Better positioned to win it all at this point, the Heels or the Sooners?
Oh, I'd say North Carolina. I mean, I think that, you know, if you had your choice and said we're going to play either Troy or West Virginia, or we're going to play either Texas or Georgia, I think you take the Troy, West Virginia option every time, because – in my opinion, Georgia and Texas are and this may sound weird because Oklahoma's 2-0, but I think Georgia and Texas are the two best teams left. So because of that, I think whoever wins tonight has a real chance to beat OU twice. Now, I mean, at some point, we should all start thoroughly believing in Oklahoma like they believe in themselves, because what they've done the last 3 weeks has been pretty awesome. But what they did the last month of the season was just fine. Wasn't bad at all, but it wasn't this. And they weren't, you know, they weren't hitting balls out of the ballpark like they are right now. Xander Mercurius last night was incredible. And it was his fourth career start. The guy came into the game, he didn't have a collegiate win. Like, not one. He was 0-2 on the year, his career, his season. And then you could beat that offense in that environment. I mean, sometimes you just start to look at it and say, I don't know, maybe it's just bound to happen at this point. And it's feeling like that a little bit for Oklahoma right now. But whoever they play on the other side is really good, whether it's Texas or Georgia.
Kyle, this time of year, when you get to almost the conclusion in a particular sport, you're going to look to those awards markets sometimes and say, who should win this award? How about the Golden Spikes here in college baseball? Who do you think will win that coveted award?
I think there's only one guy. I mean, Daniel Jackson has to win the award. We've had one guy in the history of college baseball go 30-30. 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. That was J.D. Drew. Daniel Jackson's 32 home runs, 26 bags right now. He's one of six or seven. Two have ever gone 25-25, and I think he's the only catcher. He led an offense that, has gotten Georgia to this point that has done something they haven't done in almost 20 years, and let's get back to Omaha. He's not going to be the first pick. Like Vaughn Lackey's probably going to be the first pick in an awesome year. But what Jackson has done individually and then leading Georgia to this point, he's the clear cut guy.
Yeah. The Rhino, as they call him, has been, that forceful and so much more, last couple of minutes here with you, KP, for our audience out there. We always tell them that make sure you check the weather patterns and most importantly, the wind and where it's blowing there at Charles Schwab Field. Have you seen it play some havoc so far as the higher scoring affair, or has it been kind of a hybrid of, guys taking advantage of mistakes, or have you really seen that play with a positive effect to overs and run totals with what you've seen here the first handful of days?
I don't think it's played into it that much. I mean, we've had maybe the best weather. I know we got a little rain the other day, but it was, 75 at game time yesterday. It feels like late September in Omaha, which it never does. This time of year, it's usually smoking hot and the wind's blowing from pole to pole, and now it's perfect from a weather standpoint, which usually means the wind's not going to blow very much. And it has a little bit, but it was blowing out or kind of out to left center yesterday. I didn't look yet today. I don't know exactly what the way it is. It's blowing at the ballpark, but I feel like it's been benign, which ultimately is probably a good thing. I mean, it matters. Don't get me wrong. And it matters because most years it figures someone into the equation, but I think it's better if it doesn't. And this year, I don't think there's been a hole there. I think the ballpark has played really true all the way through.
So you're getting kind of that San Diego weather in Omaha here, KP. Yeah. Enjoy that while you can.
It is different, but yeah.
That is not normally the norm. Hey, we appreciate you getting up with us here. We're going to enjoy watching you and listening to you on the call here as we get down to the nitty-gritty of the final six here in Omaha. Appreciate your time this morning, Kyle.
Hi, fellas. Thanks for having me.
There he is, everybody. Kyle Peterson. Give him a watch and a listen, certainly on ESPN, and give him a follow on X at KP_Omaha. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk Major League Baseball here. We'll get to the Daily Diamond as well, and also our best bets. And again, getting back to the U.S. Open a little bit here, maybe some symmetry is at play for world number one. We'll discuss that as the show goes on right here. It's the Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Get to our best bets before this show is done. Great conversation in the last segment with Kyle Peterson, talking all things College World Series out there in Omaha. But right now, let's talk a little bit more about the big boys in Major League Baseball with today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Oh boy, we got to talk a little Mets and Reds. This was early and often yesterday, a beatdown by the Reds. Chase Burns took it to the Metropolitans yesterday. Now, Jensen, the Reds got that over all by themselves a day ago. Yeah. What about today with that total sitting at 9.5 today in Cincinnati?
Right back to the well. Welcome in Kodai Senga. It's great batting practice when you get the right-hander on the mound. And Brady Singer actually has been a guy that's allowed a little leaky oil scenario here too. By the way, Reds now 11-4 to the over, Dave, as a home favorite. They are that again today. They're actually a small dog, plus 104.
Unbelievable.
At home here, which I find fascinating. And it might be just because an indictment on where Brady Singer has been. So if we look at a home dog scenario, not bad. 17-9-1, the Reds are to the over. So we will go right back to the well here, pal. Over 9.5, minus $1.14, Mets and Reds to get that started here on Daily Diamond.
You know, the big news that we talked about earlier in the program, certainly Spencer Strider. And again, as a baseball fan, I hope that he's going to be okay with his injuries, and we're not going to see him for at least a month. With Senga back in the bump here for the Metropolitans, remember, this was one of those acquisitions a couple of years ago where Met fans looked at it and said, man, we got an ace for, you know, 7, 8, maybe a decade, Jensen. And now, I don't want to say he's on the scrap heap or the back nine, but what do you have to see? And look, if it's injury related, that's one thing, like the Spencer Strider. But if this is all between the ears, and who Kodai Senga is this like a necessity thing that they're throwing him back out there, pulling him back up from AAA and saying, hey, we got to see if you can sink or swim again?
It's not between the ears. It's, can his lumbar spine inflammation go down? And does he have any backbone left after getting hit around? So we'll see if he can have some run suppression later on this evening from Great American Ballpark. Another over, rinse and repeat in Sacramento, my friend. You and I, a year ago, were the Trailblazers on the auto bets there at Sutter Health Park. Let's go right back to it. An easy over there yesterday. And the Athletics now is a home favorite, 7-3-1 to the over. Let's play the over 10.5 at minus $1.15. That is Mitch Keller and Jack Perkins already seeing 11s populate at even money on DraftKings, Dave. Not going to see a lot of resistance, I think, the way the ball's traveling. You want to talk about heat and humidity. As someone who pitched there in April, way back when, felt very fortunate to not have to worry about the ball traveling. It is going to go for both sides. So I think an easy overplay at minus $1.15 on 10.5 for the Pirates and the Athletics tonight.
You love to bet the White Sox, but might they be a fade today against the Pinstripers?
I think they are. And listen, I love where Davis Martin has been this year. I've got a 60-1 future on him to win the American League Cy Young Award. He gets the assignment against Gerrit Cole. Now, it is a battle of two first place teams here, Dave, but that might be just a number only. I think the quality of where Gerrit Cole is and this Yankee offense traditionally comes to play big time when their ace is on the mound. Yankees this year, Dave, 19-12 is a home favorite. I'm comfortable backing the Yankees minus $1.34 on Novig was the cheapest price that I found. They're $1.49 on DraftKings, so about a 14-cent difference there. Like the Pinstripers, they've been continuing to do well. And back home here against an upstart White Sox team, let's take the home Bronx Bombers to be able to win the opener of this series.
How about this, Jensen? Big picture. Look at the Yankees now, and they're doing this without Aaron Judge. They are, I believe this might be the highest price point I've seen so far this year. They're over a $3 betting favorite now to win the AL East. And to do this without Judge here, and you see that the Rays right now, plus 290, to get back in this. When you look at this division in totality, the betting market might be telling you that it's over here when you look at the Yanks at this stage. What do you make of those odds? And could you even look at the Blue Jays at 20-1 or the Orioles at 45-1?
Yeah, I think the only play, I said this to Dustin Sweetelson yesterday because he kind of asked me the same question, was if you had to buy a team in the American League East, who would you? And I said, it's either Baltimore or Toronto. There's too much pitching depth that's going to come back for Toronto at some point. And Baltimore has underachieved. I think Mike Elias, though, is going to be pressed into getting some pitching resources at the deadline. So it's not like you got to make up all the ground right away, but you certainly have to make some inroads before the All-Star break. So Baltimore, again, they were my pick to win the division at the beginning of the year. Dave, has not started well for them, but just remember, we're a year removed from the Toronto Blue Jays being very pedestrian in the first half of the season. And then they caught fire right out of the All-Star break en route to getting to the World Series. Food for thought. I was just looking at the parlay that I have now with the New York Knicks to win the title already in. That was at 35-1 when I put them in, along with the Yankees to win the World Series. That parlay alive at 287-1. The same parlay now, Dave, if I were to get a 35-1 and then team it with the Yankees, who are now down to 5-1 to win the World Series, that's down to 215-1. So already Seeing some changing numbers on that cross-board parlay. Loving where we're at from that regard. But I think we're in business knowing what the Yankees have just in their stable of arms. And once they get Judge back, if they're able to tread water like this, I mean, that's as good as a blockbuster addition as you're going to get to a lineup anywhere in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and that's why I can understand where that price point is at minus 310 right now for the Yanks to win the AL East. By the way, the Royals, we're talking a little no-fly zone here early in the show, and we'll get to that here in the United States Open, too, in the next segment. They've almost become that for me right now, the Royals. I don't know how we back this team. The bullpen's terrible. The offense isn't very good. But besides that, Jensen, they might win the World Series. What do you make of the Royals today in D.C. against the Nats?
Tough sledding, right? And Nationals getting home for us yesterday. I think they get home again today. Dave, Kansas City now 6-10 as a road underdog. And I don't know about you, but not running to the window to want to back. Albeit Michael Wacha gives you a fighting chance. I just don't know if you're going to beat Foster Griffin at home. And especially the way the Nats offense is going, it could have been a lot worse than yesterday. So I think we keep back in the curly W here. I got $1.23 for the Nationals at Novig. I'm seeing the Nationals at $1.35 at Circa, but I think that Washington is indeed the side. No feel on the total. It is 8.5 juice to the over, but I think the Nats money line, the solid play in that matchup later on.
You know, we mentioned the good news, bad news for the Braves. Spencer Strider is going to be out for a long time. We'll find out when, if he comes back, but you do get Drake Baldwin back in the lineup here, taking on the Gigantes. It's been a rough year number one here, managerial side here for San Francisco and beyond. What do we make of the Braves today?
So Drake Baldwin back. That is good news. Atlanta is a home favorite, has been a cash cow. They're 16-10 in that number. And the Giants coming east, it's not been good. Period. They're 9-14 as a road underdog, which they will be later on tonight. It's Adrian Hauser for the Giants against Grant Holmes of the Braves. $1.68 is the price I'm seeing at DraftKings, $1.60 at Circa. I got him at $1.52 at Novig, and do feel that the Braves at Truist Park, Dave, I mean, rinse, repeat. Even without Ronald Acuña Jr. atop that lineup, getting Drake Baldwin, I wouldn't be shocked if you might see Walt Weiss consider leading Drake Baldwin off. They tried it a couple of times without Acuña. It's just kind of that idea of your best hitter getting as many at-bats as possible. That wouldn't be a shock to me if that's the lineup construction we'll see from Walt Weiss later on tonight.
Rays, Dodgers, it felt like it was a dead over yesterday until it wasn't. It was 3-3. You got a guy that gets gunned at the plate early in that game, so all of a sudden run suppression happens. But today, back out there in L.A., do you think we might get both more runs here from both teams?
I think so. I'm seeing some change immediately as I pulled up DraftKings. The over 8 is where I want to go. And to be fair, you'd be going against the tide a little bit tonight. Drew Rasmussen, who has been arguably the best pitcher for the Rays this year, Justin Robleski, outside of what Shohei Ohtani has done, has been as good as it gets for Dave Roberts in that rotation. For what it's worth, Dave, it feels like this Dodger offense is now starting to really catch some fire. If you kind of look at their game logs, I would say even from the beginning of June, it's been pretty impressive. But if you go even from that second week of June on right now, you're looking at 9, 12, 8, 8, 7, back-to-back games of 4 runs. Like they're starting to kind of flex a little bit. And that's even with some guys that are out of the starting lineup. Looking at a lineup that you traditionally, if you had Will Smith in there, you'd feel even better. But with what Páez is doing, obviously Ohtani at the top, Freddie Freeman has hit like an all-star. This is the well. You got Mookie Betts hitting cleanup, man. And Max Muncy has been a force to be reckoned with the last week. So they feel like they're back in a big way. Kyle Tucker now starting to swing the bat. We cashed a hits, runs, RBI prop with him yesterday. Offense, I think, comes to play. Just missed it last night. Think they get over the hump tonight.
There's only 5 teams in all Major League Baseball right now with 40 or more wins. That's a battle of 2 of them right there at Chavez Ravine tonight. Rays 41 wins and the Dodgers right now. Braves have the best record in baseball, but the most wins, it's a tie between the ATL and the Dodgers at this juncture. When we come back, let's get our best bets, and maybe we'll recap a little bit of players you might want to avoid at the United States Open. That's next right here. VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football season is right around the corner. Some of the best bettors are already prepared for it. You can be as well. Next week, we're going to release our NFL betting guide. It's packed with everything you need to attack the futures market, win totals, divisional races, the upcoming NFL season in totality. Lock in that early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. Being one of the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get out of it. Full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl next February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. And I think it's a safe guarantee to make that Jensen and I will have some sort of football talk from here the rest of the way throughout our shows here on VSiN by the Books. So if you want not just football, but American football, we got you covered all the way through. I know we're watching the World Cup as well. Jensen, very quickly, we mentioned a funny tweet I got from Chris Heath on X, and he said, from a father and from somebody that has his birthday fall on Father's Day every 4 to 5 years, as Chris does, I know how it feels, Scotty, for the win, Chris says. Now, right now out there at DraftKings, he's at plus 440. You found some better numbers out there on Scotty. This is one of those key moments. If you think, and oh, by the way, his birthday is Sunday. Scotty will turn the big 3-0 on Sunday. And you know what the last leg is to complete the career Grand Slam? The United States Open. Jensen, it almost feels like the scriptwriters are writing this one almost too good.
I just wanted to play around, as we love to do here on this show, a little cross-board parlay. I just happened to throw in France to win today. Ooh. And then Scotty to win. That on DraftKings gets you to plus 691, but on Novig, it gets you to plus 880. So again, shop around for your best prices. Just a way to kind of increase odds. If again, the other way to do it, and I know we saw four matches yesterday, Dave, four draws. Totally understand if people want to stay away from it. If you play basically the three favorites, if the three favorites win today, that would be France, Norway, in Argentina, and you parlay that with Scottie Scheffler to win the U.S. Open, it's almost 13-1, okay? And again, I realize that you got some unpredictability here with where the World Cup matches have been, but just saying, that gets you pre-tournament, all three of those first legs come in, you now have Scottie Scheffler just a tick short of 13-1 to win the U.S. Open.
I love where your head's at there. I mean, look, you're sitting on that ticket after three matches today at a 13-1 and the tournament hasn't begun yet. I think you'd certainly like your chances. And by the way, check out our friends, certainly the boys over there at Long Shots each and every week. Kelly Bidlin's coming up next year with Gil Alexander on a numbers game. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds. We're going to have Wes on the program tomorrow for our Wednesdays with Wes. And again, Carl Paulson's going to be joining the program tomorrow from SiriusXM. Carl used to play on tour, obviously. He's already at Shinnecock. We're going to have you covered pillar to post here. But Jensen, we did a fun segment early in the program. Like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast, if you would. And we got some good feedback on No Fly Zone in our Top Gun themes here, as we like to do in a Jensen Ross administration. And three golfers that maybe we'd look to avoid here. Let's do a recap for those that didn't get up early here in hour number one. Three guys, and one of the guys is on both of our No Fly Zones this week here. Highway to the Danger Zone, maybe for three golfers. Who do you have on that board?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Brooks Koepka with the hand injury. I don't know if I can, in good faith, really take any hard-earned U.S. currency and put him on that one. Xander Schauffele, also, if you just think about recent form, Dave, this is something that always factors in to our handicap. And in a major tournament where I need guys to be at least having some momentum, if not more, and then kind of where they are in big finishes. Yes, traditionally, Xander in majors, it's an auto bet on a top 20. To win it, I can't get there. I can't even get there on a top five. I think he's 0-for-5 in his last five U.S. Open starts making the top five. So if that's the case, not really encouraged to want to drop an outright tag or opportunity to bet an outright ticket on him. Bryson DeChambeau, again, all kinds of power. But that's not the place to do it here at Shinnecock. And I think the accuracy, which hasn't been elite for him anyway, would be a real problem, especially knowing the weather on Thursday, Dave, looks the way that it is. If you're gusting upwards of 30 miles an hour, and whether you subscribe to penalize or penalize, it's bad either way when you're bombing it left and right at a U.S. Open. So those are my three no-flies there. Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, and Bryson DeChambeau.
The rough can be very penal. We do know that, that's for sure. And I think if you want to start looking at those markets for a guy like Bryson DeChambeau to miss the cut, not mad at you. Totally understand, even though he has won a U.S. Open in the past. It's going to be a little bit different this year at Shinnecock Hills. Hey, my three guys might surprise some people because two of the guys I love to bet, Brooks Koepka's number one, but you mentioned it, the injury. It's going to go automatic no-fly zone here for Brooksy this week. Remember, had a WD on Sunday from the RBC Canadian Open there. Said he couldn't feel his two fingers trying to grip the club on Saturday. And if you watch it, as I did, because I had tickets on Brooks last week, I thought he was going to WD on Saturday. And he actually fought through it, tried to fix it, couldn't. I hope he's okay. I don't know that he is. Jordan Spieth, I love Jordy. Who doesn't love to back the American? We'd love to see him back in great form. He's normally really good for probably, I don't know, Jensen, 68 of the 72 holes. But there's probably going to be one a day and maybe four overall. He's going to make a big number. And I just don't think he's going to be competitive enough to win this thing. And then my favorite golfer out there waiting for Ludvig Åberg to win a major. You feel like I made the comparison. Seems like the Victor Wembanyama of golf, maybe the most talented guy out there, on par certainly with Scottie Scheffler on his best days and or Rory McIlroy. There's no reasons why he can't do what some of those guys have done. And maybe, I don't want to say too young, because he's been out there about as long as Wemby's been out there in the NBA, about 3 years now, and yet it hasn't gotten it done the biggest stages. I'd love to be wrong about this one with the big Swede this week, but not for my money, at least pre-tournament, 27-1 you're seeing out there on the big Swede. Can't back Ludvig. Mentally right now, in bogey avoidance, very tough for me to get home and a golfer that I'd love see get across the finish line today. World Cup today, as you mentioned, and maybe back in some of those favorites, a lot of draws yesterday, Jensen. What officially do you have in the card here for VSiN Pro subscribers?
Yeah, just for the heck of it, for people that want to get crazy, if you want to do all four legs and you think lightning strikes again, $100 does pay out $67,000
on
a four-leg draw parlay, in case, and just throwing it out there. Here's what I like, though. I do think we kind of get some sanity back. Le Bleu, that is France, headed into their first match today. They will take on Senegal. I think, to me, what you look at and just how the pace of this matchup is, and Chris Vasili was kind enough to join us early in the program. If you have not liked and followed our By the Books podcast, please do that because it's great, actionable intel. He does feel that the scoring continues on the French side, and I don't blame him there. I would feel that Senegal, and we've seen a lot of these early matches, Dave, where especially against some really top-tier opponents, some of these lesser teams have found a way to pack it in and kind of, you know, park the bus to limit what the goal differential can be. And again, for people just getting up to speed on how this tournament and this iteration of the World Cup is different, Dave, we will have third place qualifiers into the knockout round. So goal differential becomes extremely paramount. I played a parlay on DraftKings plus $1.15, France to win and the total to be under 3.5. I could see where France ends up winning this 2-0, 2-1. And so we get that alternate under home, but I do think France the side and would even be happy with a 2-0 win there. Do think we get a boatload of scoring in Iraq and Norway. The Scandinavians with one of the best players, Erling Haaland there. Many of you watching with Manchester City in the Premier League. Over 2.5, minus $1.59. I just think Norway is going to try and run it up, try and get the goal differential in their favor. That would also be similar to what I look at with Argentina, who will take on Algeria later on tonight. Lionel Messi for the defending champs will get in there. Again, I'm going to go back to the well. Minus $1.05 in the parlay, Dave. Argentina money line under 3.5. Same thing for your late night. If you're staying up till midnight watching Austria and Jordan, we're going to go for an even money parlay. Austria money line under 3.5 as well.
I thought it was interesting. You mentioned Chris Vasili that joined us early in the program from Covers, in that he's not panicked about Spain having the draw. I just wonder very quickly, if Argentina, as the reigning defendings, and did have that draw against Algeria today, and I'm seeing in the marketplace here about plus 350 or so for that draw price to hit, Jensen, what, do you rethink, I guess, the way you look at Spain? Would you rethink Argentina in their chances? And I know that Chris is on Argentina to do it back-to-back. How important do you weigh this first result, if at all?
Boy, Argentina's group, not worried whatsoever. It's Algeria, Austria, Jordan. Boy, they should get a win against one of those three, and that will get them out of the knockout round. Spain is fine. Again, when you look at where their group is right now, Uruguay, everyone has a point because everyone drew. So anxious to see what that round two matchup will look like.
Jensen, a lot of fun as always. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll talk a lot of U.S. Open golf, and I'm sure that Kelly Bidlin will have some thoughts coming up next with Gil Alexander, because if you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, you want more VSiN, VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. The boys are up next.